Would you welcome Ray Hughes and Dave Nolan? And I'm not going to take a lot of the time to introduce Dave because I think that's going to come out in our conversation. Y'all can just situate those the way you feel most comfortable. We're going to sit up here and just have conversation. And we told Dave that Ray and I are going to grill him and interrogate him here today.
I know, I thought that was my hot seat too. I'm glad not.
But we welcome you to Florence, Alabama, Dave. Thank you for being here today. Yeah. And Ray, thank you for introducing Dave to me and conversely to our house today. And so I'm going to start, Ray, by just asking you to share a little bit about how you and Dave came to know each other and anything you have
on
your heart.
We were trying to figure that out a little bit this morning, how we met. Well, we know how we met, but we couldn't figure out when. And but we think it's about 10 years ago, about 2015, I think. And there was a fellow flew in here and asked me to do an event in Colorado, Colorado Springs. And I said yes to it because he wanted me to come and do storytelling to entrepreneurs. And his agenda was, is he wanted me to tell the stories of hymns and how those hymns came to be and the creative process behind the hymns and the encounters that people had had with the Lord that would cause those hymns to come forward. And typically how that goes is just the people experience God, would experience God in days when poetry was a part of the language of the culture. And almost everybody was a poet or they were given to poetry because they had no television, had no radio, had none of those things. And so if they were going to experience wonder, they wouldn't do it on a screen. They would do it in their lives as they walked it out. And then immediately their poetry would become the songs that would be sung in church and so on. And so when he wanted me to just come and talk about songs, I was fully equipped in my own heart to do that. Always looking for an opportunity to remind people of wonderful things God has done in the past. And so I went out there and I did that, and it was this real fancy deal. It was about over 1,000 entrepreneurs and it cost all of them $2,000 or $3,000 to be there, and I stayed in a hotel room bigger than my high school. so it was kind of fascinating to be where we were doing what we do. And I would tell all the hymn stories, and then there would be someone like Jonathan Helzer, if you know who that is. They would sing whatever hymn. A lot of worship leaders that are well known today, and they would sing the hymn then. And so when he invited me to do that, I said yes. And so we went and we did it. And then in the middle of that, they had all of these entrepreneur guys that would do these, like a Shark Tank kind of thing with all the young ones that would come. And David was one of those Shark Tanker guys sitting there sort of scrutinizing and tweaking and showing interest in what these young entrepreneurs wanted to find. And I might just let him now say how we kind of met in the hall. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Right there by the elevator. And so why don't you just jump in right there? That was my part of the thing. What was yours?
He always does that to me. So what was really interesting was I was kind of tricked to go in there to do the Shark Tank thing, but they asked me to do a presentation. They wanted me to speak the night before to a small group. And about a month out, they said, we just need 15 minutes. And about 2 weeks out, can you add that? Can you go 30 minutes? Can you do that? And then the day before I'm flying out, we need you for 90 minutes. So I'm like,
wow.
Oh, you keep going and going and going. So I got to put together about a 60-minute presentation. This is for a small group of entrepreneurs the night before the big show. I'm not going on the big show on the stage like Ray is and Lance and the guys are going. But after I spoke, they told me, you got a slot the next morning. I'm not a public speaker. And I made that very clear, no, I don't want to do that. But they talked me into it. But what encouraged me was I kept saying, I'm not a public speaker. I don't do this. I've never done this before. A small group, that's easy to do. And I was talking with Ray, and he said, David, you're just telling your story. It's just your testimony. Go tell your story. And he gave me this ability just to calm down. It's not about a polished public speaker. It's about God calling you to do something at the right time. And I went up there and I told my story. In fact, I was telling Ray, I had my wife over there, and I had my iPad, and I had all the stuff I had to have, all my notes, and I was studying all night long trying to get through it. And that morning when he told me that, I set it all aside, and I walked up there without any notes at all, and I told my story. And it was just an amazing thing that God was able to speak through me, and I really enjoyed that moment of God speaking through me.
So when you heard him teaching on these O hymns, poetic testimonies, really, of what was going on in these guys' lives, what happened inside you, because you were sharing last night how that had impacted you? Explain a little bit about what was going on inside you when that was happening.
So a little background on me is, my wife will say it, well, David, most people, when they wake up in the middle of the night, they just turn them and go back to sleep. I sleep an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. I don't sleep all night. I don't know the last time I had 8 hours. The most I get usually in the night is about 4 hours. I'm up throughout the night. I'm writing organizations down. I'm writing plans down, brands down, things I'm thinking of. My mind constantly is flowing, and I can't turn it off. It's been that way for many, many years as I've been building the company over the last 3 decades. It's kind of annoying. It's exciting, but it's also very annoying. But even in church, wherever I was at, and I listened to speakers and talking and studying, I couldn't get my mind to shut off. I always have something negotiated on my mind. But when Ray got up there and started talking about these old hymns, my amazing grace, he tells a story. For the first time in my life, my mind shut down. I only heard Ray's voice. And I heard, and I was able to concentrate on what God was doing and the amazing grace and as well as my soul. And it was great as thy faithfulness and how great they are. And you've got to see what he did. It's an amazing thing he did on stage. And I was able to sit right there at the front, and I was right there watching him. And it's the first time I had peace in my mind that wasn't scrambled. And after that, I thought, I got to figure out how to do this for myself. And so I went home, and I started going through those hymns and the songs and things. And I started doing it every morning for me. In the mornings when I get up to pray, I'm praying, Lord God, I got to have this day. But look, there's a negotiation with a little dip, and I got to do this. But, oh, God, I'm going to get back to you. Let's pray again. Let me get back to praying. And then my mind would wonder. What I did was I started taking those songs, putting those hymns together, and I recorded them for myself and put them in a track. And in the morning, I would get up and I'd start with those songs. And it was peace for me. And that's what you gave for me. And then after about 2 years, I thought, I've got to call Ray and tell him how he changed my life and how I was able to calm my mind down. And it brought me closer to the Lord. It helped me through so many things. And it's a routine I've been doing for the last, we figure, 10 years now, every day.
He and Dee got in the car or truck or whatever y'all was driving, and called Denise and I and said, could we come and talk to you? Well, yeah, I guess so. And they just showed up at our house, and that was the real beginning of a friendship that has not stopped now for about 8 or 10 years. And I don't want to talk too much to steal anything that might be shared tonight, but David's mind doesn't stop because numerous reasons. One, he has dyslexia, severe dyslexia. He can't read or anything like that. And so he's constantly searching for the next emotional or intellectual input. In other words, he can't stop his mind. And part of that is a drivenness. That part of that drivenness is something that God turned around and used for his benefit, you know, because of the energy he can put in. But, you know, if we live lives of drivenness to the point, you know, hey, a lot of folks drive themselves into a stupor like that, and sort of like drivenness can turn you into the richest man in the graveyard, you know, and on some level that's kind of how he's lived his life, and he's accomplished amazing, incredible, great things. And the only thing that was missing in his life was to be able to find that peace that would restore him in such a way that he could continue to give himself to what he was created for. And that's and so he began to access amazing creativity.
What amazes me about what I've heard so far is just kind of the power of testimony that Scripture teaches us about. I know you've taught on this too, Ray. But how you were sharing at this initial meeting, you were passing on a testimony from these men out of their walk with God that was expressed through a hymn. And as you did that, his heart was awakened.
Yeah.
And shifted how he, it sounds like from what I've heard, took your walk with the Lord to a much deeper level.
Absolutely, it did.
Yes. And so, and now across these years, now you're here, coming back where you live, sharing your testimony that, and it's just the whole ripple effect of the power of a person's testimony. Because you first, one of the first things you said, that how you're always ready to share from history the story of what God's done for somebody. And I don't want us to just leap across that, because I think probably out here all of us have our own testimonies, probably testimonies of some of our moms, dads, grandmoms, and uncles. And we'll talk about the stories of, you know, when everything went south and when my grandfather shot a police officer, you know, who was coming to his house one night and all that kind of stuff. But we tend sometimes to not pass forward the treasures and testimonies of what God's done in our family line. So hey, I don't know if there's something you want to say on that.
Most of the time we remember, recall, and recite the trauma and forget the treasures. And you think about there's a little gal named Fanny who was born about 2 years old. She got an infection in her eye, and the doctor did some medicine in there, and it was a bad treatment, and in a few days she was blind and lived the rest of her life into her 90s blind. But she had a grandmother that would take her on long walks and tell her what creation looked like. These long walks, and she would describe creation. And so what this little girl was doing, her imagination was coming fully alive. And, you know, highly creative people are the ones who find the ability to honor their imagination rather than, oh, that's just your imagination. But her imagination was given to Bible reading, Word of God, hearing her grandmother pray, and going on long walks of creation. And every night, grandmother would read her poetry. And before the little girl would go to sleep, she would write a poem that would answer the poem that had been read to her. See there? And so she learned how to recite and remember and recall. And so her mind was continually in this sense of movement. But that sense of movement, when she realized the goodness of God in her life, that became, of course, you know who I'm talking about, the great Fanny Crosby, who wrote 8,000 hymns.
Wow.
Why? Because she had a sanctified, holy mind that was always looking for that place of peace and wonder and imagination. So look what that's how the enemy, you know, God will turn what the enemy is using. You know, blindness ain't a good idea. Well, it wasn't a bad idea. Her first poem was acknowledging the goodness of God on her life being greater than her blindness, greater than the darkness. She wrote that when she was 8 years old. Well, those are the kind of things that we need to remember. It's not always about the trauma. It's not always about the blind. It's not always about the trauma in the family and the disasters. Sometimes it's not always the trauma and the sickness. Yeah, they're there and they can impact you, but then look what can come out of it. So David's a great example of that.
Well, that's interesting because all my life my mind was racing like that. But I'd be sitting in school in class, and I can't read. And so when we would sit in class, we'd open the books, and I'd count my paragraphs and which one I'm going to have to read and stuff. And in that moment, when it got there, if I didn't get kicked out of class, because most of the time I could get kicked out of class before I had to read. But if I had to read, I would mumble through it. I might know one or two words, but I'd mumble. And I learned to mumble. It was a way of me coping, of not letting them think I'm stupid and I can't read. They didn't really understand what I was doing, and I'd say a few words once in a while. But most of the time I would be daydreaming. I'd be thinking, and the teachers would tell my parents, "Your David, he's lazy, he's daydreaming all the time, he's causing lots of trouble, he's disruptive in the class." And they heard that most of my life. And I was told how bad that was until God told me he designed me to be a daydreamer and to see the visions. And when I look at a brand or a product or a company, I envision from the very beginning to the outcome of the sale of the company 5 years later, 10 years later. I run the whole thing, and I do the whole global gamut within a few minutes when I developed a brand. It's that fast for me. And it's a dyslexia that I thought as a child God cursed me with. But now I realize it's a gift from God, and that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I thank God that I have that gift of dyslexia. In fact, one time, a friend of mine, Lance Wallnow, and I were at a conference, and this guy came up to me after he heard me talk. He goes, I'm going to pray over the healing of dyslexia. He starts praying over the healing of my mind of dyslexia. And Lance goes, no, that's a superpower. Stop that. He's got that down. That's a gift from God. Don't do that to him.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I know you'd be hesitant about any kind of boasting about yourself, but could you give us a thumbnail version? I know that you started out, I think, landscaping. You were a chef. You had your restaurants and these hundreds of millions of dollar businesses and stuff. But just give us a thumbnail of what that looks like, because we have a number of young entrepreneurs here, business people, and hopefully people from the region will be gathering here tonight. I know you'll get more in detail tonight. But give us a little thumbnail of Dave Nolan, the businessman.
Okay. I am now in the hot seat. Well, I started, we'll share more tonight and how I got in this position, but I'm not doing good in school. I'm not doing good in high school, so I don't want to do this anymore. And my dad said, you can't just sit around the house and not go to school. So I've got my mower in the edger of my dad's shed, and I threw it back in my car, and I started looking for lawn mowing on Saturdays and then during the week. And 17 years old, I built, by the time I was 19, I had over 400 yards, commercial properties, I have several trucks, people working for me, and I'm a 19-year-old kid that can't even sign my name to my own checking account, and yet I've grown this business. I don't know, at the time, really capable of how I was doing it. But what was interesting about that was I didn't enjoy any of it. I did it. People say, well, what got you to be an entrepreneur and stuff? It wasn't because I was a brilliant, passionate guy about a product. I had to survive. I couldn't get a job, do anything else. So I had to make it happen. So that's kind of what I did. And I stepped in after I sold the company in 19, I sold my first company. The only time I've ever worked for anybody is if I wanted to be a painting contractor or a roofing contractor. I would go to work for a roofing contractor, and I'd spend a couple of months learning how to do that, and then I would quit and go start my own company. And I've always been able to do that. So over my lifetime, I only had a couple of handful of jobs only as my way of going to school to educate myself. And then I had an opportunity to go in and be a waiter at a restaurant. And we'll get more into this tonight. I don't want to give away too much. But this gentleman knew I couldn't read. And he brought me in. And he said, look, here's how you make these sauces. Here's how you pick these vegetables. Here's how you pick these meats. And he taught me from a point of view that I never knew I could do, but that's see it, taste it, touch it, experience it, not read about it. And my mind went off. And I could grasp everything, and then I never forgot what I learned. So for the first time in my life, I felt like I can learn. And I'm 27 years old at this point, right? And so I, for the first time, I'm learning that I can learn. And I'm not that stupid kid. I'm not that kid that's worthless. I'm not that kid that's not going to be worth anything. I don't even think I graduated high school enough and then to write how this kid's going to end up. But it wasn't a good thing. My mom and dad lowered the bar for me because they didn't think much how I was going to do well. In those days, we were considered retarded or brain damaged kids. We'll find that out tonight, how that was uncovered for me. But the point of that is, God had other plans. God knew who to put me, and he took me in front of a guy named Don Thompson. And I realized Don Thompson was my first true teacher, and he launched me, and I found something I was passionate about. And once I learned I could learn, once I learned I could understand something, that's when you were talking about, I just started looking every way. Now I know how I learn. And so I started exploring, and now I can't stop learning. I love to learn. I just can't learn in a book the way you do and read about it. That just doesn't work for me. Of course, nowadays it's easier, right? There's audio books. Same with the scriptures. I love God, but I didn't know how to get to know him because I couldn't read the Bible. So I had to depend on other people. And if the people were wrong, I went down the wrong road several times. And I wanted to walk away from God because I felt that was wrong. I couldn't understand what they were telling me. But now it's an amazing thing when I have a wife and family and people like Ray in my life and Eddie like you in my life that I can call to and say, hey, I'm confused about this. Help me out here on the scriptures. I still don't read, but I can listen now. And when I learn to do that and imagine it, and I need my imagination, and I think that's a gift God gives people with dyslexia. You're not going to be able to read, so when you hear about it, your imagination just takes a video, and that's how you learn.
That's amazing.
But we don't teach that. Even to people who can read, we don't teach creativity that way in school.
Yeah. So is that when you became a chef, when this man started teaching?
That's correct, in his restaurant. That's correct.
In the food industry?
Yeah, I got in the food industry.
And you're still involved in the food industry?
Yeah, we built the company. We sold it 20 years later, and then I was on a non-compete where I couldn't do anything in the food industry at all, and now that's up. And about a year and a half ago, I started developing products again, and now we're putting a team together. We're going to launch a new company back in the food industry.
Amen.
You know, people of vision, a lot of times their drivenness causes them to look far into the future and try to direct their own paths toward that target. And when sometimes it's just the day-to-day having the grace on your life to mow yards or do whatever it is, but you've got a long-term vision for your life. And many times what happens is we wind up derailed because obstacles or tragedy comes along that will try to keep us, we give up on the dream way out there. And when in fact, most of the time, we experience success or grace upon our life by just years ago, the Lord spoke to me one day when he had called me to do something that I knew was impossible. And that was before I knew that he never calls you to do anything you can do. He always calls you to do something you can't do. And therefore, you'll have to rely upon him to get you there. But I thought, well, you know, if the Lord's called me to do this, well, I'm going to get it done. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me during that time in my life, he said, don't worry about the mule going blind, just load the wagon.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is, he told me to load the wagon. I can't be concerned about the mule going blind. The mule is going blind, but what happens if one day in God's time and all of a sudden he heals the mule, but I don't have the wagon loaded? Now everything's out of sync and it's out of agreement. In other words, we consistently do what God has given us that day to do, and that day, and go ahead and dream toward the future, because that's an important part of the journey. Don't lose the dream of that, because dreams are very powerful things in our lives. But I used to say, If your memories are more powerful than your dreams, you'll sabotage your future and the future of those that are going to come behind you. You're not going to be in that motion that keeps just load the wagon, and then one day all of it comes together because all things work together, even the bad ones. All things, even the derail. All things, even the seasons you don't even feel like loading the wagon. Also, when you don't even think it's right to keep loading a wagon when it'll blind you. So you got to stay out of the practical sometimes and just do the practical. Mm. You know, stay out of the trying to practicalize the future and just do the practical things now. And so all of these successes that David has had, and tonight he's going to be showing this presentation that's just really, I'll just use this word, almost unimaginable. How wonderful God has been to direct his path through these things. And, you know, and to defy so many odds. You know, like my daddy couldn't read or write. And I knew the specialness in my own life of a dad that couldn't read. Because anytime he had to sign any kind of documents or anything like that, I was the son that was chosen to sign his name. Because daddy always said about me, you know, what do you say? That boy right there, he's going to be able to go anywhere and spell anything. And he was so proud to always introduce me to people like that. That boy right there, he'll go anywhere and spell anything. You better watch it. And I would be the one that would sign his name on the thing, and then he'd reach over and touch the pen.
Make it legal.
That made it legal.
Yeah, wow.
But also, when the blessing of the Father and the blessing of God kicks in on somebody's life, the favor of God, and that's really what that was. It was the favor of God. And I know you'll share some of that tonight, but we're always looking for the favor and the grace. And the grace is that infusion of God's enablement to do it.
That is so good. Yeah. Can I add something to that practically for me?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I was so ashamed of who I was growing up. When I became the chef, and I worked long and hard hours to do this, and I got my own restaurant, I wrote a bio on me that wasn't true. Because in those days, in the early late 80s and early 90s...
Is that kind of like lying in the name of Jesus? Is that
yeah. Well, he didn't go for that. He introduced me to the one woman that challenged me on that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was before self-taught chefs are like today. Because I was taught by Don Thompson, but I learned a lot of it by myself. But what I didn't do is I didn't go to school. And I thought, well, I have to go to school to be a chef. And Emil Lagasse is coming on TV. Gordon Ramsay doesn't exist yet. These guys aren't popular yet. So in a restaurant in West Texas, I better have some credentials. So I wrote this whole story about how I trained in New Orleans in the Commander's Palace. And I started dating this girl from Louisiana who knew people from Commander's Palace who didn't know me. She pointed it out to me. And she said, David, you don't need to be lying about it. She said, you know how much more impressive it is if you tell the truth about who you are? That's more impressive. I said, no, it's really not. But I did. I rewrote the whole thing. I had her help me write it. We did it. So I was prone to lie about the identity that I felt was on me until God began to change my identity. And it took a long time to go through that. But here's what's interesting, because my wife knew me back when I was lying and stuff, and I was dealing with that. We're beyond that. We're not lying anymore, and you'll hear about that tonight, that whole story, but we're beyond that. However, I own a food manufacturing plant at this point, and we're producing product, and people would say, well, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a restaurant consultant. And my wife goes, David, you're not a restaurant consultant. You bake cakes for restaurants. And I said, no, I'm a restaurant consultant. And she said, you're not really a restaurant consultant. But in my mind, I went in, and I wasn't at the time, but in my mind, I envisioned myself going into a restaurant, telling, and here's the big difference. In those days, in the early 90s, mid-90s, when I started this company, there was no customization of bakery products for restaurants. If you wanted a product, you ordered from Sysco, I want key lime pie, there's 12 in a case, there's no option, they don't cut it. I was going in and saying, what do you need? And if they needed a cheesecake and they wanted to cut in 12 pieces, I would make a cheesecake and cut in 12 pieces. And if you wanted 3-pack or 4-pack, I would put a 4-pack together for you. So I customized something, and that exploded my company. So I'm consulting with a restaurant to find out, because I'm in the restaurant business, I know what I would like to buy. I don't want to buy 4 cases of 12 cheesecakes that's going to take me 6 months to get rid of, right? So I knew what they wanted. But then I would do something else, and I would get to that point where now I am a restaurant consultant with the manufacturing. And then I would talk about other things. And a new thing I'm going to be doing is a business and an investor. And I'm not there yet. I'm doing that. But what Belinda finds out through her prayer is, David, what you're actually doing is not lying. You're calling in your future. You're doing what you said right now, but you see the future, and you're actually speaking the words of where God's taking you. And that's not a lie. That's a vision, and you're calling it in. You can help me explain that a little bit better, so get me out of this lying deal. But.
To clean it up a little.
That's why I'm not alone on stage. That's why I have Ray here.
I'm going to go start the car.
Do you think anyone here might have tasted one of your recipes?
I think so. Has anybody tried the lemon pound cake at Starbucks? One person, great. Oh, more. I can't think of the lights. Lemon pound cake at Starbucks? Ah, good. Pumpkin bread, banana bread. Well, if you eat them today, they're not the original recipe. I had those recipes from 95 until 2018, and they changed it when I sold that company. So they're not the same recipes today. But I have those recipes, and they're coming back out on the market.
And we'll meet you back there in the kitchen in a few minutes. No, but you know, the principle that you're talking about as far as calling it in, if out of a, when your heart is pure and you're walking with the Lord and looking for His intended purposes on your life, what happens is what it's a principle of Scripture. Whatever you begin to celebrate, you welcome into your own life. So whatever, when you begin to adapt the language of God's desire and intent into your life, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. You know, I know of things in my own life I have sensed or felt, and even in teaching, and I would teach them, and I would say, after I get done teaching, I say, I'm not even sure I believe that. And then I would have opportunity to walk around that and say, wait a minute. And then I would go dig a little farther, and then the Lord would begin to bring the science and the scriptures and the awareness of it, that thing happening somewhere in times past or even in times future that wasn't always completely together. So, you know, I think that's part of what makes it a wonderful journey, walking with the Lord and yielding your imagination to Him.
I saw you do that yesterday. We were sitting in the living room, and you said something. You read something. He goes, read that again. And then he recorded it. He goes, yeah, I'm going to use that for future teachings. I think you have to still explore it. But you've already seen just that one phrase, that one sentence is going to be something that's going to be taught in the future.
Yeah. You know, David was doing things last week where they were making... I don't even know how to explain all this, but he's making a bunch of cakes. They got to get 1,200 cakes out right now. And he's developing this company. He goes over and helps these people do it. And then they get into the process, and like they're making these beautiful cakes, and they got everybody, all these people in there, a big staff of cutting cakes. As soon as they cut into it, it don't work. So he immediately says, okay, everybody, we're going to take them all into the cooler. So they go into the cooler, and in a few minutes, they all cut perfectly. Now, what is creativity and what is imagination? The creativity is that innate ability to access options when you need them. So thinking on your feet, because you have groomed and given your imagination permission. You know, sometimes we just got to give ourself permission to live outside of the regimentation of formulas and say, you know, God can do amazing things with us if we just stay alive and alert and listening and paying attention. And you'll hear tonight that's kind of been David's journey. Is, well, God would come along with something outlandish and he'd say yes. And, you know, that's a part of this journey we're all on. You know, we don't always know where we're going, but we know how we'll get there one yes at a time. And so, anyway.
That's great. So obviously, early on and for a stretch there, you were doing things Dave's way without a lot of awareness of how this might affect the kingdom. But now here you are on a Sunday morning in a church setting in a service testifying to the grace and goodness of God on your life, Dave. So I imagine tonight part of that will be that what brought about that transition and change. Because sometimes just like what Ray's saying, one word from God can just like you hear in his testimony, that was a moment of change for you.
But two things he demonstrated.
Okay.
First, peace. He'd never given himself permission to be at peace because he had to conquer and strive. So now just peace. And the second thing he set in motion was gratitude. So it's not about genius.
Would you say the peace part is that being still and knowing he's God?
And listening. And
those hymns begin to give him. And you know, and I don't want to take this too far, but, you know, one part of the grace on my life as being a prophetic individual, see, prophecy is not always about telling you what to do and how to do it. Prophecy is about awakening who you are. And so the things that I said that night awakened a who you are that you didn't know that was you. The peace came, and then gratitude followed. And the Lord said, well, I will perpetuate that peace as a result of gratitude, and we'll take you on a different kind of journey, and that's the kind you've been on.
It's interesting, too, because it was in the hallway on my walking in to speak. is when you said, just go tell your story. And that's when I had that great deal of peace, and I put everything aside. It was that night that you did the presentation, and that changed everything.
Yeah.
So you started something in me before I even went on stage for the first time. And I was frightened until you said that. And all of a sudden, it was so easy to walk up there.
Yeah.
And then that night's when you started the presentation for me.
Yeah. Now that's kind of our heart's desire for this setting up this morning for tonight, is that there will be an intersection between that quickening word, that awakening of God's Spirit in someone's heart that begins to shift things. That while you are talking, I'm thinking of like Luke chapter 5, when the disciples had been toiling all night, casting their nets. Then Jesus tells them to go out deeper and throw their nets on the other side. And after they had toiled and snared, just that one word from the Lord, then they loaded both boats by shifting things and positioning themselves where he told them to and obeying the word he gave them. And I believe in a setting like this with these testimonies that can happen for people, that they've been toiling, they've been, that hope deferred that we talked about last night, thinking, well, when's it going to happen for me? When am I going to get my, quote, break? When are things going to finally change? I'm seeing this person, they're being blessed, that person's being blessed, but when's my moment? But I think it really, the Lord is waiting to step into to your boat in the middle of all that weariness and working and not seeing the outcome that you want, and to release that word. So when we position ourselves with hunger, things begin to happen. I believe that.
May I share a short story?
Yeah,
I left it out of the presentation for tonight so I could share it maybe this morning if it came up, and I think it has.
Sure.
You said something earlier today about you just have to say yes, right? When you hear God do something, it's the yes you have to be able to say. And so back when I had the restaurant, my wife and I had the restaurant, there was a church, a little church, went into revival, and we were there every night for this revival. And I heard the Lord speak to me, not audibly, just, will you be Jory and Sue's retirement? Now, Jory and Sue is my wife's mom and dad, and they had been in the ministry all their lives. But in his late 50s, he got very sick, and he had to retire. But in the organization he was in, there's no retirement money. His wife is now working at Sam's as a demo lady, and they go out and they sing like once a month, but there's no money coming in, is when I'm stepping into life. Now, I'm married with Delinda at this time. She's pregnant with our first baby. And I heard this voice, will you be their retirement? And I thought, Lord, are you talking to me about Jory and Sue? And I, what do you need? And he goes, I want to make sure, will you take care of them the rest of their lives? And I'm thinking, repossessed my Ford Explorer. So I'm thinking, I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do that, but we'll figure that out. And I thought, well, I can mow yards in the morning again. I have my restaurant at night. I can mow yards. I'll take that assignment. I'll do that. And then a few days later, the revival, the evangelist came up to me and my wife, and she said, Scott says, you're going to start a company, and when you do, you're going to become very successful, and God trusts you with the money to do the right thing with it. That's a few days after this. 6 months go by, and I start our company for the first time. Starbucks wanted to get a business going. We wanted to have certain pound cakes and stuff. That banana bread, the pumpkin bread, lemon pound cake, orange poppy seed were all Sue's recipes. I didn't have to create any of them. They're on the market. I've been in the business for 4 decades in the food industry. There is not a product that's been on the menu for 4 decades in any restaurant.
Wow.
So God said to me, will you take care of them? And sure enough, when we started, I hired Sue and I hired Jory, and the company we started paid them the money for the rest of their lives, and they never had to work again. God just wanted me to say yes to the assignment, not how you're going to do it. And you look back now, God gave me, and those recipes are things that she got from Church on the Grounds over all those years. And she gave them to me, and we created this. And that's an amazing story when you think about it. You say, yes, God's going to provide the way, not only for you, but to take care of who he wants to take care of and give them the retirement.
And we don't realize on the road behind us during those tough times when you're struggling and trying to make ends meet and, doing all that stuff, that's actually part of God's plan too.
Oh, 100%. We're going to that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I don't want to tell you my ghost stories. No, we same thing for us. It was not, you know, it took a while. When I first got saved, went immediately into the ministry and didn't even know how to spell ministry. Couldn't have found John 3:16 with a bird dog, and I was the speaker. You know, I just didn't have, it was a world that they asked me if I'd share my testimony. I honestly didn't know what that was. I thought that was something on Perry Mason, you know. But that was the beginnings. And then by the time the Lord brought Denise and I together, also a pastor's daughter, a preacher's daughter, you know, you got to watch them. And with a very rocky beginning, but we were in love, committed, and we were going forth into our life, whatever it looked like. And a few times it didn't look that good in those early days. And I don't ever tell this publicly, but, you know, Denise and I...
Between us.
It's just between us. We wound up... after I'd been in the ministry for some time, we lost everything. Well, there wasn't a whole lot to lose. But we did have each other, and we were homeless back before it was popular. And we
very were, encouraging story, right?
Yeah, we were living in a... We literally moved into a tent. And it wasn't even our tent. I had to borrow that from my brother. And we lived in a tent on a hill in Tennessee, wondering, and we had one little... We had Ramey, and Justin was a little guy in a playpen inside the tent, and that's where we found out that we were going to have our third. And I don't know how to tell you what goes on, because I was a gifted, already showing promise, and I've been in ministry for 3 or 4 years, you know, and because of what happened in my life that night when I got saved, I immediately, the first time I went to church, I was a speaker, you know, because of my testimony. And I don't bring that up haphazardly. I just want to say that last night when we were sitting at the table having dinner was the 51st anniversary of me giving my heart to Jesus. Yesterday was my birthday. And to watch the faithfulness of the Lord lead you through these crazy, outrageous journey that He can. And I believe there's folks sitting here this morning saying, you know, I've been watching preachers and ministries and ministers and all this stuff and trying to figure out where I fit in this thing. Well, sometimes the very best thing you can be is a misfit and come to the realization, maybe I only fit where God can put me. And He might put me in a family like this and start awakening His promises in my life. And it may not look right, feel right, and maybe a lot of disasters on the way, you know. But, you know, who was it? Churchill said, you can go through hell as long as you don't stop. You've got to just keep going through. And pretty soon, you start finding the traction of the Holy Spirit begins to reveal Himself in all kinds of ways in your life, and you begin to hear and know His voice and sense His presence, and then the peace comes, then the gratitude comes. Then it's a walk, it's a journey, it's not a, and I just want to encourage somebody with that today, you know, it may not look right or feel right now, but he's still there. And, you know, after that season, we went, finally a little traction started happening in our lives, he's been faithful. Well, this morning when Randy started acknowledging with the scriptural reality to us all is he's the lamb, but he's also a lion. You know, he's a fire. He's also a mist. He's a wind. He's a dove. We have so many pictures of his divine nature and the multifaceted nature of God. All of those can awaken our nature in response to him. Probably got gifts and callings and anointings and graces and successes in your future that you don't even know are out there. So just don't give up. when you find yourself in a tent. You find yourself in the woods somewhere and not knowing which way to go. You know, it's he's faithful. Yeah.
Amen. Before we slide in home here, Dave, I'd like for you to respond to this. Like, for people who choose to come back tonight, what do you think is going to be like some of the big rocks in the bucket, the core message? Because I know entrepreneur, business people, you even went through the thing about people think, well, I don't have any abilities to do this or that. I just hear I feel like a whole lot of hopes on the way tonight in what you're going to be sharing.
Yeah, I think it's a real story. And it's interesting, Eddie, because I didn't want to be a public speaker. I didn't want to talk about this. I build businesses. I don't want to tell anybody how I build businesses. I don't want to teach people. People always ask me to write a book and do this. But I honestly didn't want to do this. But as I stepped out and I got on stage for the very first time, and I did that when you told me to go out and do that. And again, I was kind of tricked into doing that. But the story I'm going to tell about my life and where I got to, it seems impossible. It seems grand and bigger than life. But I started where I couldn't read in school, and I quit high school, and I still can't read. And I'm 45 years old. I still can't read. And now I'm older, and I have kids. But what was interesting is when I got off the stage, I had to get to that Shark Tank thing. I had like 20 minutes to get there, and there's a line of like 70 people over here, and I've never experienced this before. And they all came up to me, and they were one after the other, saying, "My son has dyslexia, or my dad did, or this, or we're struggling with business." And I was able to share into their lives and pray to them to the point where they had to come get me to get me away from them. And then I said, "God, if you want me on stage to be able to speak in somebody's life after the stage, I'll go on the stage because I don't care about being on the stage, but I want to share in others' lives." So I think tonight there'll be an encouragement to you because I've seen it over and over again when I speak. And so I just encourage you to be here, come willing to listen, and come willing to let God speak to you and your Holy Spirit speak to you. And then we'll be able to, I think, fellowship and share even afterward, correct?
Yeah, we're going to have a meet and greet particularly for those of you that may be entrepreneurial business or got questions for Dave. We're going to go in the dining hall. I think we're going to have some cookies.
Can I share one more thing, though? I didn't win a lottery with God and said, "Oh, you're going to go become a $100 million company." I was faithful to God. And when you say to me or say you have favor over God, when some people think they don't have that God's favor, I have to ask them, what do you favor in that? Do you favor the things of God? Because I had to learn to favor the things of God to have God's favor over me and trust me with his favor. If you're walking without favor of God, you may be walking without favor in the things that he wants. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. You know, just like I was before we came out this morning, I was praying, and there's three things that I feel like today is about. Yes, David knows how, and he can instruct, and he will. But there's instruct and inspire, and his story is incredibly inspiring. But number three, and this is the one I'm asking God for today, and I believe the Lord's going to grant it, is there's going to be an impartation. So instruct, inspire, but the impartation is that thing that only God can do, and he can use any person to ask a question or to make a statement, and there can be an impartation of truth that goes straight to your spirit, which is beyond instruction and inspiration. It'll go straight to your spirit, and now it's something that you carry. And I'm asking the Lord to give in this house things that we will carry into the new day that will shift. Very well could shift this culture here.
Amen.
You know, because of the impartation of what the Holy Spirit and only he can do.
This whole Tennessee Valley and beyond.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask our worship team to make their way up here and our prayer team members to begin to pray and prepare. I'm going to call you forward in just a moment. And I want to share the scripture that I shared at the table last night that just rose up in my heart as I heard Dave and Ray interacting at the table, and it's out of Proverbs, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life." And we all know what that hope deferred is. When? You know, it's been prophesied over, I've heard this promise, but nothing's happening. And you become discouraged. You can become depressed. But that scripture says, but that's a conjunction of contrast. In other words, there's a moment when things shift. But when desire comes, it's a tree of life. That's a reference to Eden, the pleasure of communion with God and what can happen out of that. So I believe, too, Ray just summed it up with these three things, that means there's going to be those moments of impartation where the light bulb comes on for you, where desire begins to rise up. I'm really believing, I can sense God is doing this. He's doing something in me. And it always begins in a single moment, sometimes from a single word. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. He may already be doing that for some of you here this morning. So I'm just going to ask everyone to stand. And our prayer team members are coming forward. And just out of the brief
yours?
Testimonies that you've heard, if God is stirring
is
your
yours?
Heart,
yeah.
I encourage you, don't wait tonight. Step into that. Say yes to that stirring that you're sensing in your spirit. Perhaps you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Lord of your life. Maybe you heard we were having this business breakthrough weekend and you've just shown up as a business person. The business you may need to do, first of all, is business with God. He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. Others of you that know the Lord, if you're dealing with that disappointment or hope deferred or some of these things you've heard Dave and Ray speak of the struggles, the way that we learn to adjust and adapt, maybe put up a front that doesn't really represent what's going on in our life. Let's just be real with God this morning, transparent before the Lord, because the scripture says if we'll just walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All that ugly, all that stuff that's between us and what God really wants for us, He can just take care of that in a moment. And it could be your moment this morning. So, Father God, I pray across this room right now that Your Holy Spirit would just move upon hearts, move upon lives. Lord, we believe You have ordained and orchestrated this day and this service this morning and the one tonight, Lord, to release a deposit from heaven, an impartation that not only will bring breakthrough in business, but breakthrough in many, many areas of our life. Thank You, Lord, that You orchestrated Ray meeting Dave and Dave coming here and Dave being here today. And You've sent him as a man with a message. And we say yes, Lord, to what You're speaking through him. So this morning, Lord, have Your way in every heart and every life. Our prayer team members are waiting on You. Our worship team's going to begin to worship. We'll be dismissing You in just a moment. But we want to give You an opportunity to respond. As we begin to sing, would You just make Your way forward? They are here. They will pray with You, believe with You, and ask the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life. Step out from where you are.
And all my days I've been held in Your hands.
Are there others who come?
It
could be the beginning of something very powerful and very beautiful in your life. Would you come?